Thank you, choir. Ain't no rock gonna shout for me. Thanks. Let's go before God in an attitude of prayer. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we do praise you. We praise you more than the rocks do. We praise you for you are all-knowing and all-loving. And we come together for worship and for prayer, and we praise you while we're here. We praise you when we're at home. We praise you all the time. Thank you for directing our steps and helping us to take a chance on obeying you. Thank you for helping us to trust you, even when it seems to us that your plan does not seem to make sense. Give us the courage to trust you. Give us the desire to change our ways and be the best we can be. Give us the courage to confess our sins before you. Lord, please forgive us for our sins and help us to live in obedience to you. Here also are prayers for those who we remember before you who are sick or suffering or confused. Please surround them with your spirit of peace and healing and comfort and wisdom. For those we love who struggle with loneliness or grief, please be the light in their darkness. Please comfort them with your presence and reassure them of your love. Hear us also, Lord, as we pray special for those who live their lives each day in obedience to you. Strengthen and reassure each one that your love will not let us go. You are present with us each and every moment. And for those of us who have stepped away from you for whatever reason, please help us to return to you. Please restore to us the joy of our salvation and help us to stand on the reality of your power and your presence. Lord, help us to remember to pray for those who do not know you as their Lord. Please bring them to repentance and salvation. Help us to model before them what it means to be a Christ follower and to love you with all of our hearts. Help them to see that they can begin to put you first. Be with those who suffer from religious persecution and oppressive governments. Please be with those people whose nations are at war. And especially, Lord, be with those children who are in war-torn lands. We pray for our leaders. We pray for leaders around the world, that they would turn to you for your wisdom and your direction. And we ask that you bless our nation and our world with your peace. Please protect Israel from her enemies and bless Israel with peace. Lord, we come before you as people who know you, who worship you, who want to draw closer to you, who want to take a chance on obeying you. And we ask, Lord, that you help us to choose to make time to read your word, the Bible, so you can give us a clearer understanding of your will for our lives. Help us to choose you, to trust you and obey you, especially at the difficult times. Help us to take a chance and help our voices and our lives to cry out to you in glory and honor. For all these things and for all the blessings you provide, we give you thanks and glory. We ask, Lord, that you hear our prayers and hear us as we pray the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 As we continue with the giving of our tithes and our offerings, we remember how many reasons we have to give glory to God. More than just waving palm branches one Sunday out of a year, we have the opportunity to give glory to God each and every day through what we do, through what we say, for how we take a chance on obeying God with the giving of our tithes and our offerings, and in our interactions with other people. Always God gives us opportunities to declare his praise. At this time, I invite the ushers to come forward and invite you to give generously out of your gratitude for Jesus. We do praise you. We give glory to your name, and we are so grateful for all of the abundant blessings that you give to us. We look around us and we are grateful for the people who are near us. We think of how you have provided for us so many tangible ways at home and at work and at school. You have blessed us beyond belief. Thank you for especially the blessing of Jesus, who lived and died and rose again so that we can be restored to you and we can look for an eye to the prize of eternity in heaven. Thank you that there is more to life than what we can see and know. Thank you that you are our life. And we give you these tithes and offerings out of gratitude and joy. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I invite you to listen to the account from Matthew's Gospel of Jesus' entrance into Jerusalem. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet. Say to daughter Zion, see, your king comes to you gentle and riding on a donkey and on a colt, the foal of a donkey. The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heaven! When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole crowd was stirred and asked, Who is this? The crowds answered, This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. This is our final week in our Lenten series called Take a Chance on God, and we're ready to consider taking that last step. The most important step of all is for us to actually make the decision on whether or not we will take a chance on obeying God. What we've learned over these weeks through hindsight is that taking a chance on obeying God is a gamble not only worth taking, but one that we cannot lose. God honors those who honor him. As you reflect on these weeks, because he obeyed God's word, Abram received a new name and a new identity. Gideon was considered a mighty warrior and enjoyed military success as he pursued peace for his country. Daniel and his friends chose to run to God through their problems, to whatever blessings God had planned on the other side, even while being held captive in a foreign land. Elijah was reassured that his work was not in vain and he was not alone in his fight for God and against the political powers of the day. The disciples of Jesus learned that to take a chance on obeying God meant that they had a future beyond this life. They learned to keep their eyes on the prize of eternity in heaven with God and to rejoice that their names were written in heaven. As I reflect on these accounts, I believe these accounts in the Bible are specifically for our benefit. There's historical value. We can be encouraged by the faith and the trust of all these followers of God. Definitely, we can stand on the truth and relevance of God's word and to know beyond knowledge that God consistently has kept his promises to his followers and has never left them alone. It's a promise we can stand on. I think the biggest benefit of the blessing of the hindsight we received from God when we explored these accounts and heard these stories is that these accounts prove over and over again that God is for real and God can be trusted. God is not some fable. God is not some fairy tale. These people put their lives on the line. These historical accounts are of people who had much to lose in this life with their decision to take a chance on obeying God, and yet each and every one of them were willing to take a chance. For me, that counts for a lot. Their lives and their faith, their willingness to gamble on God with their lives and their faith is the greatest testimony to God's truth that I know. And it leaves me with the question, am I willing to take a chance on obeying God? I'm not some military commander like Gideon. I don't have to fear the lion's den or fiery furnace like Daniel because I worship God. I don't live in a country where it is illegal to worship God or to own a Bible. I don't have to be in fear for my life if I wear a t-shirt or a sweatshirt that promotes my love for Jesus. And as I think about it, all things considered, I have it pretty easy for living as a Christ follower. Yet I still have to make the decision every day, am I willing to take a chance on obeying God and His word? The decision that I make will determine my eternal future, and it immediately determines my day-to-day actions and attitudes. Because there's more in this life than what I can see and know and understand, I need to be willing to learn from others. I need to be willing to accept instruction and correction. I need to be willing to admit that I don't know everything there is to know about this journey with Jesus. While I must decide for myself, if I'm going to put my faith in God, God provides me with other people who can help me along this journey of faith, as long as I'm not too proud to accept them and their words and their witness as God's gift to me. That's true for all of us. None of us who dare to take the chance on obeying God will be alone in our journey. As long as we are willing to accept the people with whom God surrounds us as God's gift to us. Today's Palm Sunday. It's the day we wave our branches and sing praise to God. It's a day that we also remember the perfect plan that God had for the lifetime of His Son, Jesus. There was a huge crowd of people in Jerusalem. They were there to celebrate the Passover feast. They were there to remember God's powerful hand at work when God used Moses to release the people of Israel from their slavery in Egypt and lead them to the promised land. During that Passover celebration, they remembered how God had miraculously provided for Moses and their ancestors in the wilderness, how God defended them from all of their enemies. The Israelites remembered the covenant God had made with them as His chosen people. He would be their only God. They would be His chosen people. They remembered God's promise. They remembered their commitment to worship and obey God. They may have even remembered the times when their ancestors had turned away from God and rejected God's covenant. They may have used that time to recommit themselves to God. The Jewish people were blessed with the hindsight of being able to remember and learn from what their forefathers did right, and also learn from the mistakes of their forefathers. When Jesus and His disciples and Jesus' crowd of followers trooped into Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover feast, they were met with lots of accolades. Jesus was very popular. He had met people's needs, He had fed them, He had healed them, He had fed and healed them as only God can feed and heal people. And Jesus opened their hearts and their minds to God's perspectives and God's attitudes. Jesus taught them how to live faithfully and repentantly before God. And Jesus taught them how to love all people, not just their friends and family. As I told the kids, and as the choir remembered, as He entered the city, Jesus was sitting on the back of a donkey. People began waving their palm branches, throwing their coats in the road before Him so that the donkey walked on the coats, and they began crying out, "Hosanna! Blessed is He who comes in the name of the Lord." What's interesting to me is that God caused the people to react this way. God did it. This took place to fulfill what was written hundreds of years before. Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9 says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." Jesus knew what was happening. He understood why the crowd was so excited. He knew that in that crowd, there were some people who truly loved Him. They were faithful in their decision to follow him. They were committed. They wanted to take the chance on obeying God. They knew that there was more to this life than what their eyes could see, and they knew that Jesus was the answer. Jesus also knew that within that crowd were some people who had ulterior and devious motives for their own political gain. They wanted to silence Jesus. Jesus threatened their selfish pride and their social standing. Jesus threatened their selfish understanding of the scripture. Jesus also knew that within that crowd, there were some people who were simply caught up in the excitement of a parade and following the crowd. As he was riding into the city, Jesus knew that the time had come for him to become recognized for who he was and who he still is today. Jesus is the only Savior of Israel, and Jesus is the only Savior of the world today. God would open the eyes of some people to understand that Jesus' innocent death on the cross would take on the fulfillment of the sacrificial lamb of the Passover. They would learn that it would no longer be the blood of an unblemished lamb that people gave to the priest to offer on their behalf. From the time of the crucifixion, it would be Jesus' sacrificial death that would be the start of a new relationship with God. God would clothe individuals with the righteousness of his only Son, Jesus, if that individual was willing to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. That's the new covenant that Jesus brought. The salvation that Jesus brought with him was a salvation from the power of sin. Only the salvation that Jesus offers can erase an individual's sins forever and release a person from the slavery, the spiritual slavery, to the power of evil. Jesus' salvation still does that. But only if we are willing to take a chance on obeying God, which includes confessing our sins and a willingness to change for the sake of God's honor and glory. Jesus received all sorts of accolades when he rode into Jerusalem, all sorts of honors. The Bible promises that Jesus will be back. And on the day he comes back, he won't be riding into Jerusalem on a donkey. When Jesus comes back, he will return to for his church. And when Jesus returns, Jesus will again receive the accolades and the honor due him. And Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11 says it best. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now hang on to that verse for a minute. When Jesus returns, when that time comes, at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, whether they believe in Jesus or not. Every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord, whether they have ever acknowledged and given credit to Jesus before or not, and it will all be to the glory of God the Father. That does not mean that everyone gets to go to heaven. It means that when Jesus returns, everyone, both living and dead, will see Jesus for who he is. Everyone, both living and dead, will give Jesus his due worship, and then the judgment will begin. It will be a judgment for all people. We will all give an account to Almighty God. Romans 14:12 says, so then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. I don't know where you are in your faith with God. Those who have focused their lives and their hearts on Jesus and have received Jesus' precious sacrifice of love for their salvation will be judged and then welcomed into heaven. Those who have rejected Jesus with words and lives and actions and have refused to confess their sins to God, or who have refused and rejected the cross of Jesus as the only way of salvation, they too will stand before God in judgment. We will all give an account to God, to Almighty God. The really cool thing about the Bible is that it gives us both hindsight and foresight. We can look at the past and read the accounts of the people who had an eye on the prize of eternal life in heaven with God. We can also read in the Bible about the future events that are yet to come. They're words of warning for those who refuse or delay too long in taking the chance on obeying God. They're also words of hope and joy and reassurance to those who are living faithfully each and every day, even in the midst of terrible tests and temptations. I don't know where you are in your faith, but the Bible has many references to the return of Jesus. In fact, in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, the Bible says, "The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." God loves you. God loves your loved ones too. God only wants what is best for you. And God knows that what is best for you and your loved ones is to be united with him both now and into eternity. And he is waiting for others to join in this journey of faith with Jesus and taking a chance on obeying God. Jesus went to the cross because he loves you and your loved ones. It was Jesus' love for you that kept him on the cross. Make your decision. Do it today. And my prayer is that on this day, when we give praise to Jesus, each one of us will humble ourselves, confess our sins to Jesus, and trust God to be good for his word. And if you already are a Christ follower, take the opportunity to renew your commitment to him. Make sure your salvation is secure. My prayer is that each one of us will take a chance on obeying God and decide to put Jesus first and bring as many people along as we can so that everyone comes to repentance. My prayer is that each one of us keep our eye on the prize of heaven. Thanks be to God. Amen.